Hello and welcome back to Fan Affection. We are two fans who are afflicted by our passion and love for Dramione amongst many other ships. But this, at the moment, it is fully Dramione. Aisha, hello. How are you doing on this lovely Saturday morning?
Hello, I'm good. I'm quite excited. We took a week off or so, or longer than a week, I don't know.
Thanks so Jojo, to me.
No, and me, both of us. But so Jojo and I were just trying to remember what had just happened in the last episode.
Basically, all we could remember was there was a kiss.
The
which
most
is still
important
very
part.
Exciting.
Very, very. Finally, after 15 whole chapters, a substantial kiss.
Thank Here God. Otherwise, I would have had to. Well, I was going to say write to the author, but we don't know who they are, so
no,
it's a moot point, really, isn't it?
But Sage, yeah, so if you're out there, hit us up as per
every
usual.
Every week, we renew our search for Sage.
Honestly, when we're 60, I think we should just run a BBC documentary on it. It should just be called Finding Every Thursday.
Do you think they'll just let us do it as two people who have nothing to do with the BBC?
100%.
Be fun.
100%. I think it would appeal to the masses.
Sometimes I feel like these really, really, really specific ideas would actually make an amazing documentary. So sometimes I think of what if someone just made a documentary of my life? Literally me just going around, just living my life.
I'd
Nothing
find that
crazy.
So interesting though. I love watching normal people doing stuff. How fascinating.
Yeah. I'd love to just there to be a documentary just about a person and just be like, and they're just like, okay, so today I've got to run some errands. So I've got to go to Tesco's and then I've got to go pop around to see my dad. I don't know. There's something that just seems really comforting and interesting about that.
Me too. Because actually, although we live similar lives, I think we can still be interesting in those little things we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know. You know, you just get curious sometimes when you see old men and women just trotting about. And I'm I wonder what your day looks like.
I'm so nosy.
So am I. Well, we're on the same page.
Yeah, true. We are very similar. But it's just it's when you have that realization in your life that you're not, that other people have thoughts and feelings going on like you do. I think sometimes it's easy to walk around thinking I am the protagonist of this planet, this universe. Everyone else around me is just mindless drones, NPCs in my life.
And that they have a life without you. And I think, I realised that with friends early on, but with family, it's kind of not something that really struck me until I went to uni and started working. And now I'm wow, you do stuff during the day. You also go to work and interact with all these people. I just don't know. And that's kind of wild.
It is strange. But it's interesting. It's a realisation. One of those
There's
ones that kind of makes you...
There's like a
There's
cool
loads of,
word
is it like,
for
is it Japanese?
It.
There's loads of Japanese words for all these feelings.
What a beautiful language. Perhaps I should take
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should. Screw
I'm
Sanskrit.
If anyone out there has taken Sanskrit, please tell me how it is.
Aisha's weighing up between Latin, which obviously I have a vested interest in.
This is true. I think Latin's beautiful. I don't know.
I think Latin's beautiful. Well, actually, no. It can be quite beautiful. Sonder. Yes, you're
the
right.
The realisation that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own.
Yeah. That's great. I love that.
Oh, that's quite wild. That's a really... I love these words.
Maybe we
I
should
really
have a segment
do.
On the podcast where every week there's a new fun Japanese word.
Yeah, we could do that. I would be very invested in that.
So this week's a sonder, everybody. I wonder if it's going to be relevant to the chapter. Probably not in any way. So speaking of forgetting what happened, let's recap what happened from what we know from just flicking back.
Looking into
now.
The complex and vivid life of Malfoy outside of Rome.
So he is commander now. And Woo! He was injured, correct?
Yes, he was
that
injured.
Wasn't in the last chapter, though, was it? Was it? No.
No, it was in the chapter before, but that's why he's been at Rome so much, because he couldn't go back to the ministry. Not the ministry, he couldn't go back to Azkaban.
Azkaban, yes,
injured.
Of course. So now they're like, right, we got a little bit of a plan. And Aisha, you take it from there.
Yeah, so there's some kind of ministry drop-off, or there's some kind of plan, and they were... Hermione and Draco were looking at blueprints for something. Can't remember what, but I'm sure if you're listening, you're like, yes, we know, get to the point. So there we go. There's a lot of pressure from Kingsley and Pruitt and Leecher and basically everyone at the ministry to kind of get Malfoy more involved, or like to get things sped up. And Hermione's kind of like, listen, we need to let him take his time. We don't want him to blow the assignment. But they're obviously very worried about the Dark Revival. And so they're kind of looking at all these other safe house locations and stuff, checking for things. We still don't know like what exactly in terms of potions and stuff the Dark Revival have. They've been working on a bunch of stuff. We know that there's some kind of Obliviate, potentially an Imperius, but in liquid form. All a bit confusing, really. A bit like Divergent with the whole serum being injected and controlling people's minds.
I don't give Divergent any time of day anymore. The first book was great.
Yeah.
Everything else was pants. But I will very, say, very considering pantsy. That we're at chapter 16 out of 20, I have many unanswered questions.
So many. We know about Narcissa and Lucius a little more now.
Yeah, I'm starting to get scared that it's not going to be resolved properly and that there's going to be like a weird sequel out there. But Sage doesn't seem to do that.
No, I have faith in Sage. Actually, I think that it'll be wrapped up. But if not, we will just write the end.
Oh God, we will.
Let's do it. Screw it. Or we'll find someone to write the end. Someone on Tumblr will have done something somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Surely.
But we got our kiss, which is very sweet and lovely.
Yeah, I'm satisfied.
Yeah, and then there was a little bit more banter towards the end of the last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione being like, "Do I look like a librarian?" And him being like, "Well, I don't know."
Ha 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 ha! You know, the banter that we all love to hear.
Love that banter. And then I think that's where we left off. Jojo, what do you hope we have in this chapter?
I honestly don't know.
Not a sex scene.
That's what I want, because you're reading.
I don't.
It has to be. It has to happen.
Please. No smart.
It's too early in the morning.
It was struggle enough in Bouquet.
So funny.
And I love Sage, and I love the way that they write smut scenes, but I don't know if I want to read one out loud. We'll see where the day takes us.
I hope it happens. But apart from that, I don't know. I think I want a bit more. I think recently, because we've been gunning so hard for a kiss, I think I actually would like a bit more on the plot.
Yeah,
because I want to know what's going on
with the Dark Revival.
Yeah, exactly.
How this is going to pan out.
Don't get me wrong, I want plenty about Draco and Hermione and like their relationship, because they kind of kiss and then they were a bit like, oh no, can't do it, but then they kiss again and it was like, yeah, cool, yes, we can do it.
Yeah,
so I don't know, I want more information about the revival. What about you?
That's fair. Me too. I think it's interesting though, like what you say about plot. I was having this discussion with a few friends the other day and they were kind of saying that they think that I'm drawn to like sci-fi / fantasy because even though there's a lot of romance, there's still like plot. Whereas with romance, the relationship is the entire plot. And I think that that's probably pretty reflective of our tastes in fanfic. Like, even though there's heavy romance, there's always, like, things going on in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have turned to a bit of pure romance recently, because...
Nice, every now and then.
Every now and then.
You've got to mix it up.
Not Hermione romance, though. This is print romance, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, yeah, I hope... I want them to talk more about them, but, you know, I don't think that it's in either of their nature to really be that upfront.
They're not very chatty, yes. They're not very communicative, but maybe together, you know, they'll become that. Maybe that's the progress we need to see.
Hopefully, and I want to find out about the Animagus, or whether that just drops off the face of the earth forevermore.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you haven't spoken about your cat idea.
Pepper.
Mm-hmm. Being the Animagus in a while, have you? So
no, well, Pepper's kind of disappeared, but Pepper was hostile.
Yeah, they have.
Also, Kaylee's theory about Ron, would love to see that come to fruition.
Oh my God,
evil
yes.
Ron! I love it. Listen, I'm all here for evil Ron. Death Eater Ron, the theory, I think, was epic.
Yeah, but the thing is, it helps that you don't like Ron.
This is true. This is very true.
But I also would also love for that to be what happens here.
I think for his character in this book too, because he's so absent but also kind of involved, it would make a lot of sense. Or if not that he's involved in the ministry somehow on some really high level that we're just not aware of. I don't know.
There has to be something else going on behind all this, right? It can't just be this.
No, and also there's the twist that JoJo and I have spoiled for ourselves.
It's not
going to
happen, is it?
I think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think it will.
Well, okay.
When we get to the end of it, if it doesn't happen, we have to, obviously we'll discuss it on the podcast.
Yes, very much so.
Okay. On that note, shall we get started, Aisha?
Let's go.
You go crazy. So what day were we on last time? We were on November 24th. Okay, so it's only a day later.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So November, chapter 16. I don't know if we normally say that, but you got it. So there we go. Anyway. It's been a while. I'm rusty. Please be kind.
Be forgiving.
November 25th, 5:22 a.m. Hermione shoves the bag against his chest, squishing it between him and her hands until he reaches up to grab it. He looks like she just handed him a puzzle and gave him a minute to solve it. She clears her throat, holding the lantern out as she avoids his eyes, pushing back the loose tendrils of hair from her face. His hands come up slowly, two fingers hooking around the metal loop of the lantern before she pulls her own away. "What's in the bag, Granger?" "Must have guessed. She didn't really have much reason to hand him a big bag of clothes or stuffed animals, and there are only so many things that squish that much." "Things? Good." The bag drops as his hand snaps out, catching the door before it slides shut. He stares at her, and she stares back wide-eyed, swaying when he steps forward. Just things. A thick blanket, shoes, and another, better pillow. Unless he liked the thin, hard pillows that were more like resting your head on a... His fingers curl behind one of her ears, and the lantern light swings as he bends his head to press her mouth to his. His lips are warm and soft.
So sweet. Sorry.
No, it is.
I'm not used to such sweetness in this story.
Gentle. Oh, his lips are warm and soft, but there's nothing light in the way he kisses her, as if he's very sure that it's what he should be doing at that moment. And there should be nothing about this that he's sure about. Well, maybe a few things. Maybe some things, like if his heart is pounding as hard as hers, he can be sure about that. And if he's clenching his free hand as tightly as she is hers, the metal of the lantern light might be digging into his palm as much as the key is into hers. He's also probably sure about the way her breath stutters in, and maybe the fuller feel of her mouth when she opens her lips under his, claiming his bottom lip, presses back. She sways back, her hand raising towards his chest as she pulls in a breath, but it meets air as he steps back. She meets his eyes for three quick heartbeats before he slants to the side and the cell door shuts. She gapes at the door, his face still at the front of her mind, with an expression she can't understand, but she knows the tingle of emotion that starts taking over the surprise.
"You don't just close the door." Did he just shut the cell door in her face?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's so Malfoy, isn't it, though? Like the sweetest kiss ever.
Yeah, soft kiss, slam.
Yeah. She can't see anything through the window except for the barely lit edge of the bed and a strip of floor, and she wonders where he's standing. Maybe that's why he shut the door, so she couldn't see him. Or maybe because he knew what was coming and wanted to put a barrier between them. "I told you not to do that. I told you that I decided and that it wasn't to be done, for very obvious reasons. For reasons so obvious that you're an idiot for not knowing that they're valid enough not to do it." She's too loud, and it's the only thing that stops her from continuing to yell at him. It doesn't matter that she's attracted to him. It doesn't matter that she's somehow grown attached to the sound of him, because that's what prolonged exposure to anything does to a person. It doesn't matter if she doesn't have to be the reminder of war with him, because they're both afraid of sounds in the dark. It doesn't matter that she likes the look of his smile and his scowl, arguing with him, the way he infuriates her, and 100 other things. Or that she's found him to be so much more than she had ever thought she was. None of that matters. There were lines and... lines, crossing them, like an idiot. She moves back for the tunnel, digging for the matches in her pocket as she glares at the floor, when a banging starts from behind her. The matches smack into the floor as she grabs the end of her wand, spinning to look at the cell door. Malfoy is glaring through the window, and she glares back, despite the warmth growing in her cheeks. She half turns to walk away again, but she knows he'd never let it go if she did so. She frowns at the door while walking back, preparing herself for the argument as she turns the key around in her fingers. She glances long enough to know he's still glaring at her when she pushes the key into the lock, twisting it. She braces her feet as she pulls the key out, opening the door a few inches, just enough to hear him through. Malfoy, apparently, finds the space insufficient because his hand moves through the gap and shoves against the door. It flies towards the wall, but he's kissing her before it even slams.
Yes.
Yeah. A palm cradling the back of her head to keep her there. She pulls back, but he follows her, and then she's pressing into him, and his arm is around her waist, and his tongue is meeting hers for the first time. Something inside her clenches and flips, a tingle of sensation moving through her mouth and her heartbeat in her ears. Her fingers clench his shirt, and he pulls her closer, her feet clumsily over his. Her chest presses against his, and he feels bigger, stronger, more than he's ever looked to her. His arm flexes around her, shirt pulling up from her skin in his fist, and the heat of his body is sinking around through her clothes. His tongue rubs against hers in the retreat, and then their mouths are dragging, sucking, tugging before he moves to exhale hotly along her cheek. She huffs for air, keeping her eyes shut for just a while longer, and concentrates on each point of contact, on the loosening and clenching of his fist that moves the muscles and tendons of his arm around her, the quick rise-fall of his chest and the scruff on his face on her cheek as his breath moves to her jaw, neck, shoulder. "What are you doing?" she whispers, breathless, and wonders if he managed to find the words in it. "I don't know," he says, and he's breathless too. She expects a clean escape, but he moves in fractions, releasing her shirt, sliding his hand along her back, stubble scratching up to her temple, a sway before a rock back. She drops her hand away from him, watching his feet retreat, 3 steps back and into the cell before she lifts her chin to face him. "But if I'm an idiot, we both are." He looks at her, maybe waiting for it to sink in, but she already knows that. She knew it the first time he kissed her, and she didn't push him away. Really, she knew the first time she thought about kissing him, but she hadn't known he was an idiot then too. "Good night, Granger." The door shuts with a click this time. November 25th, 9:17 p.m. So a couple of hours later.
I can't believe that they just had all that kissing.
I love it, though. I love that he just, like, goes for it. And then yes. He's like, bye.
I loved it.
Oh, it warms my soul. That's the kind of Dramione content that I live for.
Warms
for.
The cockles of my heart. I do wish he wasn't in the cell, though.
I know. I thought they were going to maybe kiss through some bars. I don't know why.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that. Yeah, me neither.
Ding, ding, ding. Hermione shifts on the bench, folding her hands on her lap, and looks out to the fog. Neither of them has said anything since she opened the cell, her heart jumping around like it was preparing for him to kiss her again. It happened twice now, and she'd learned from the first that it wasn't something she could ignore. She might be able to carry on fairly normal, but it's always there, constantly somewhere replaying itself in her mind, which means she thinks far too much about it, and there's only very bad things that she considers worse than herself acting like an idiot. Being attracted to Malfoy, having been drawn to him over the past few months, is not necessarily bad. Acting on it is a different matter.
No, it's not.
Malfoy, I'm going to suggest having a drink with a few of the commanders that are closer to the nobles. If anyone outside the nobles knows where the dark objects are, it's them. Okay.
Dark objects, yes, I remember now.
I don't know if they'll prefer it at Rome. She thinks that that might be the first time she's heard him call it that. We'll apparate outside, but it's a possibility. All right, then. Business, then. This is good. You have recruit interrogations tonight? There's a rustle of fabric, like he might have shook his head, but she can hardly see tonight. Training. Then a commander meeting. So if you come back for drinks, it should be no earlier than midnight. She doesn't know why she's bothering to check. She'll be even more on edge for the entire night from the second he leaves. No earlier. She nods, looking back out into the fog. November 26th, 3:39 a.m. And those in London, but that's the only one they mentioned specifically. They didn't give exact locations. Nowhere muggle? Malfoy shook his head, his gaze unnervingly on her as she concentrated on the shapes her quill point made. Not yet. They'll want to secure the Wizarding World before they start on the muggle one. She was going to make sure neither one happened. What about the magical devices? She looks up as the wind throws the rain harder into the window, her hand falling to her wand until she's sure it's just the rain. She'd been hoping it would ease up before they made the trip back to Azkaban, but it didn't look like it had any plans to. She was almost done with the interview, and staying wasn't an option. Malfoy shrugs his shoulder. They weren't specific. There's at least two that start a fire, one that burns skin, one that stuns, another that causes some sort of excessive bleeding. They didn't say how. I expressed interest in putting some in place. That's the only good news that she's heard since they started tonight. Good. She finishes writing and then looks at the window again before glancing at him. That's all for tonight, then.
He doesn't stand to signal he's ready to go and just keeps watching her, waiting for her to make the decision. She knows the weather is prime conditions for hypothermia, but there's no guarantee it'll improve in an hour. But she's pretty sure there's a guarantee the awkwardness in the room will remain the same. We'll wait half an hour to see if the storm eases. Do you have anything to read? I have three books here, so you can start on one and take it back with you. I've already finished this one yesterday, so see, it's about the development of spells throughout the centuries and theories on how they could have turned out differently if... Not that I always like theories, but some of them are really interesting, especially... Well, you'll read it, if you want. You should.
Oh my god. Keep it calm. Keep it cool, Hermione.
No, that's literally me talking
what
to boys.
What a smooth operator she is.
Hermione waved the book at him across the table, her gaze focused on the cover of one in her briefcase. It wasn't until her arm was straining to keep it held up and out before the book finally slid from her grip. November 27th, 2:06 a.m. Whoa! Twilight hours!
It's very early.
Whoa. His bicep tightens under her fingers and she runs the point of her wand. I know, I got so excited and I was like, damn it. She runs the point of her wand slowly over the shallow cut. He's still scowling, but she doesn't know if it's because multiple recruits cast him at once and he didn't block his duel, or because they cast the spells so poorly. If they cast them properly, you'd be a lot worse off right now. It's a good thing you're a terrible teacher. She clears the blood from his arm and keeps his warmth in her fingertips when she pulls away. Do you want cold water or tea for your throat? If I wanted to teach them to use dark magic correctly, they would be, even if they are like the long bottoms in potions or the Weasley at the dining table. She rolls her eyes, choosing the tea, and fills the kettle enough for two cups. Insulting two of my friends in one breath. I'm rusty. And a prat. I'm honest, and that makes me a prat. If I lie, I'm a liar and still a prat.
Well, there we go. To be fair, I've never heard a truer statement.
Which means I always win. She says, pulling two cups from the cabinet. Actually, no, I'm around you constantly, so it means that I'm always miserable. Clearly, he drawls, which means I always win.
God, they're so banterous.
I love them. I love them. Do you know,
thinking back
to how they were in chapter one, we've made leaps so much and progress. Bounds. November 28th, 12:01 p.m. Fish and chips. Hermione takes the menu from Harry's hand, taps the pile against the table to straighten them, and hands it to the waitress. Oh, branching out, Ron says. You're getting daring, Hermione. Maybe next week you'll try the... Ow! Oh, sorry, was that your arm? He shoots her a look, his spoon clinking noisily off the sides of his cup as he stirs his coffee. We've got a lot of new products to test, you know.
I love that. So, she's not having a chicken salad. Good for you.
That's true. Wow.
Also,
oh my god, is this indicative of something?
Fish and chips for lunch is too much.
Yeah, it is. Or every time you brave it, you get really stodged up.
Yeah,
it's too much.
You don't really eat dinner.
No, fish and chips is just
it's a dinner meal.
Yes, but it's always better in theory. And then after, like, I think it's good. But then there comes a point where I'm like, no more chips, please.
Yeah, true.
They're very chunky.
They're chunky, you know? Chips. They're not fries. Yeah.
Yeah. No. For any Americans out there who make up 54% of our audience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is quite wild. But yeah, they're fat chips, so it's just it's
big,
hard.
Big boys.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that, so Ron is still working for his brother, but he's on a break from the ministry.
Yes.
So I don't really know what's going on with that.
No, you're just trying to find anything to make him the culprit.
I kind of want to know what's up with Fred and George. I like
why? Who cares?
Oh my god! If anyone out there has read the George Weasley fanfic on Wattpad that got taken down, Golden Boy, thoughts and feelings are invited. I used to hate the concept of fanfic for the twins, but now I'm into it.
Why? Why are you into it?
I think that they're like funny and cute and like gangly and like
they're good
know,
side I'm... characters, but that's them in my opinion. That's all they are.
No, Georgia, I'm gonna send you some good ones. Oh, they're actually really good as protagonists.
Okay.
Listen, they live colourful lives, okay?
Oh yes, don't we all?
I know. It's just I love listen, a bit of Fred or George. 10 out of 10.
I am listening to Asia, but it's not going in.
Fine. I'm sure someone listening understands what I mean.
Okay? Yes. I hope for your sake that they
Kaylee, back Kaylee, me up, okay. Please. But yeah. She narrows her eyes at him and Neville leans to the side as he starts inspecting Ron's person. "You going back to your office after?" Harry asks, and she looks over to find him looking back at her. She nods. "There are some interviews I have to read through and organise. Work as usual, despite, too, certain incidents. The assignment hasn't been thrown off at all, and things are continuing on as normal." She hadn't thought they'd be able to, because anything like that between the two of them is not normal. Maybe in this situation they both know what's truly important right now, and they can concentrate on that despite any distractions. Those things haven't really interfered at all, and it isn't like they did them while they were supposed to be doing something else. The assignment comes first. As long as the assignment is never put at risk or made secondary, logically there's no reason. Hermione shakes her head, stirring her tea faster. November 30th, 4:13 a.m. Hermione inspects the amber liquid in the vial and then moves to the dark pink where the swirls of black streak through. "Really good job," she says again, placing each of the 13 vials carefully into her briefcase. "I need to know what tables you got from them, what else was on there, and what cauldron types." His forehead wrinkles and his eyes are too tired for his look to appear serious. "You're better off in the Pensieve for that, Granger." She frowns at the contents of her briefcase. "I don't have the memory vials with me." "Then you'll have to wait." "No, I'll go get the vials now and..." His voice sounds lighter when he says, "unless you want me to guess." "Absolutely not." She thinks he knew that that would have been her answer. "Guesses are like mayflies, unavoidable, annoying, and serving little to no purpose."
Damn, like rip the mayflies, too.
"Like the things that usually come out of your mouth, then."
Got him, Malfoy.
She gives him a sharp look. "Guesses rarely have any facts in them. It's fine to guess, then your instinct is a guess and you rely on it consistently. You value it. It's not a guess, it's an intrinsic knowing." She nods slowly when his eyebrows shoot up. "It's something a different part of your mind or muscle memory knows is right because it's worked before. It's not a thought of what you should do, it's just immediate action. I'm referring to how you blew a dozen holes into a garden in an attempt to stun a squirrel because your gut was telling you it had evil intent. It clearly looked like it had a rap, or the guesses that were risks that you took during the war, or the way you guess a shadow is your enemy and reach for your wand, though it's..." "These are still..." She waves a hand like it can beckon the words to her tongue, and he slowly lowers his chin to his chest. "Those are dangerous or perceived dangerous situations and require immediate action. Well, you can't check facts or have a way to learn the facts. In that case, it's fine. If you guess and then immediately research to validate, fine. But not stupid guesses. Like you guessing locations or cauldrons. It's pointless and destructive." "Then I'll go to sleep." "Yes," she stands. "No, wait, I wanted to go get..." "You've already agreed." She tilts her head as she gives him a hard look, studying him. Had this been why he suggested the guessing? Throw her off track enough to end the night without making him wait until she returned? "I'm not sure of my capability in extracting the right memories right now. I might have to guess." She lets out a heavy sigh, clipping her briefcase shut, and he smirks. December 2nd, 6:17 a.m. I love them like this. I think these are my favourite parts, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Hermione moves the chair over a few inches and then stands back up on it, opening the cabinet. She peers over the boxes of pasta and then presses her hand against the front line of each, squishing shut any spaces. "What are you doing?" She pauses, not feeling awkward about it until he asked. "Just stop looking at me." It's impolite to stare as much as he does. She feels like he's constantly watching her, and though she's gotten used to it, it still throws her off. The only time he doesn't seem to be looking at her is when she's watching him. But it's her job to watch him, and so it doesn't count as being impolite, usually. Sometimes she watches him in ways that might not be entirely appropriate, but it's not like he knows that. "You searched the house twice. Because something creaked like a floorboard and..." "Must have been the wind or just some shift in an old house. You lived at Hogwarts for 6 years. You should know that strange..." "You thought it was weird enough to give me the go look look," she huffs. "I didn't give you any look. Lie. You very..." She turns her head over her shoulder, ducks her chin and widens her eyes, but she doesn't think she can see it properly at this angle anyway. "I was giving you that look because you kept telling me to crawl under the table. I knew you knew what I meant. You didn't even..." "And that still doesn't explain why you're checking the cabinets. I told you to stop watching me." Three more and she'll be done. She doubts he'll stop staring at her before then, but as long as he stops asking questions, he has no business Hermione jerks back as the kitchen cabinet slams shut before it's even halfway open, risking her balance. She stares at the larger hand pressed against the wood, knuckles white, and turns her gaze to Malfoy. His look approaches a glare as it digs into her and she stares stupidly back. She hadn't heard him approach. "There's nothing in the cabinets, Granger." She tightens her grip on the metal handle. "Everything has to be checked." "You checked the house." "I didn't check. What's going to be in the cabinets? Someone put in a dark object while I was sitting at the table. An animagus?" She blushes because of the way he looks incredulous at the possibilities she finds serious. "Let go," she tells him, yanking on the handle, then yanks harder when it doesn't budge. He doesn't say anything, but he doesn't move his hand either. "If I didn't check them, checking the house is useless. They can use any method to catch you unaware, and..." "So they're hiding in the cabinet? Pettigrew was Ron's pet rat for years. There's..." "Nothing is in the cabinets." "You can't know that until..." "I do. If they attack, it'll be straight out, quick and simple. They aren't breaking in to hide in your fucking cabinets. To catch you unaware, they'll..." He's glaring at her now. "No one in the revival would think it's necessary. You have muggle blood. You can't defeat them, and..." "I can, and ha..." "To them," he snaps. "And anyone who's a coward wouldn't come alone in the first place. The cabinets are empty." His gaze is unwavering, and it's her that sways under the determination. Her inhale trembles, and her arm feels heavy when she drops it, palm smacking into her thigh. It's nothing she hadn't contemplated before, but it sounded more logical hearing it out loud. More of a definite with how sure he is. But she still feels like the job is unfinished, even if she knows it's more illogical to think so. She grabs his shoulders to guide herself away from his feet on the step down, strong and steady under her palm. He turns to the side to give her more space, but doesn't move away from her hand. His eyes follow hers and she pulls in a breath as she raises her chin. "Fine." December 3rd, 11:14 a.m. Hermione nods, handing the file to Harry. "The business will start selling muggle objects that have been altered to work in a magical environment. Bells doesn't know if every object will be cursed or just specific ones that are going to certain people. The products go on sale in February." "And if he's part of the revival, it must mean this is part of a bigger plan, like the dark objects in public places." "Right." Hermione heaves a sigh. "It's impossible to know when they're going to make a move. They could intend to sell these for a year before they do anything. Or they could start trying to take over come March. Probably depends on how everything else works out. They'll definitely want a few people higher up in the ministry, some auras. They don't have that already. Bells hasn't heard anything beyond two ministry employees and guards at Azkaban, but ministry employees are low level. File keepers, maybe a secretary, right?" She shrugs. "It seems. Are you watching them?" Harry nods. "I'll give this to Kingsley after lunch. I'll be ready at noon if you want to leave here to..." "I have to go home to sleep. I've got Bells tonight and the day tomorrow." She tries not to let her anxiousness over this show on her face, because it's due to an entirely different reason than Harry would expect. "He's at the revival during the day tomorrow." "A meeting. I think it's about setting up the dark object, so he might not be back until late tomorrow night." Harry frowns, leaning back in his chair. "When are you going to sleep?" "Pruitt's coming from 4 to 8. Harry starts rummaging around on the desk, litters with parchment, files, sweets, photographs, potion vials, and whatever else might be hiding under the piles. Hermione huffs a laugh and decides to take a seat, just for a little while. 10 p.m. Hermione bends at the waist, pushing her hair up to fall in her vision, and works her fingers from root to tip. She hasn't managed time for a shower since yesterday morning, and she knew she wouldn't take one when Malfoy was gone or sleeping and the house was left open. She tried to be quick in case anyone showed up, though no one had since Malfoy made commander and told them not to.
How is she so busy? It's like so overwhelming just reading about how busy she is.
Yeah.
Like, hasn't even got time for a shower.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Hermione's interesting. She seems like the type who'd want to shower very religiously to me, though.
Yeah, me too.
Curious.
Not that I thought that much about it.
No, but you know when somebody just seems very like put together and like they have a proper routine, like I don't know. But yeah, also the I don't know, something about, is it Pruitt who's going to be here?
Yes.
Something about Pruitt rubs me the wrong way. I don't quite know what it is.
Leecher, something about them I don't like.
Hella sketchy. Or maybe it's just because they have villainous names. I don't know.
Yes, you're right. And also because they obviously don't trust Malfoy. And obviously because we like Malfoy, it puts us on edge.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, fair. She'd kept the shower curtain open to prevent more muffling and counted on Malfoy to signal anything that she couldn't hear. He'd got them out of a bad situation before. Even if she didn't agree with the method, he had turned out to be right in using it. Hermione pauses, feeling awareness creep up her back. She grabs the end of her wand tucked into the waist of her skirt and straightens up too quickly, dizziness swooping in on her. There's a section of blonde hair, a jaw, and a shoulder reflecting in pieces of the cracked mirror. She looks over her shoulder and her I got excited because I was like,
I know,
Malfoy.
I know.
So you know what? We're going to leave that in, okay? So you will get that. I'm sorry. I got
excited. She's overexcited.
Okay? She looks over her shoulder at Malfoy and her heart gives a thump with his expression. What are you angry about? You could have just told me you needed the loo and I would have got out. I'm not angry, he says slowly, his voice low.
Oh.
Rubbish. He looked like a predator, his head lowered, eyes burning into hers, and his body tense, with his hand clamped around the frame of the door. Right. She narrows her eyes at him before looking back into the room, grabbing her bag while smoothing a hand over her hair. He doesn't move when she skirts around him, and she's almost out when his hand raises towards her arm. It hovers in the air as she gives him a questioning look, moving out into the kitchen. Do you want anything to eat? You should make it now. He hums, the door closing loudly behind him. It's his own fault for not saying anything. Git.
We all know what was going on there, though.
I don't get... She's so smart, but she's so dumb.
She's
like,
so
ma'am.
Thick. Well, because... But that's kind of a thing about, like, social awareness, isn't it? Like, with some, well, sometimes with smart people.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. True, true. December 4th, 11:44 a.m. I don't understand what it is, Hermione says, giving up on trying to speak and read at the same time. Why do people enjoy being scared? They go to see scary films, read horror stories. I thought it might be preparation at first, to be ready and know what to do and what not to do if the situation ever became a reality for them. That would make sense. Like I said, some people enjoy embracing darker emotions in a comfortable setting where they know they can't really be harmed. On the other side of the loo door, she hears the sound and has decided it's the towel rubbing against his head. She wonders if he's one of those people who get half-dressed before drying their hair, or if he's really been standing naked for the 5 minutes since the shower went off and talking to her, which shouldn't seem like a big deal since he's always naked under his clothes and the shut door serves the purpose well enough. But it feels like a big deal, largely due to the image in her head of skin under the dirty yellow lighting of the loo.
I think I know why you're tripping up so much this episode. You're scared because there is some stuff going on here that's slightly sexual in nature and you are scared about what's possibly coming up. That is what's happening.
That's
you cannot
so true.
Correct me.
No, you're right. Do you know what I was also just remembering is with bouquet, that was a struggle.
Well, that went
me.
On for so long though.
But no, but also like the amount of stuff that we probably had to cut because I was stuttering.
Yeah.
And then I just started laughing.
Yeah, understandably.
You know, listen, it's not like I've not done it before, but something about reading it out loud is so different.
No, it's true, though. I'm the same. I agree. I've just not had to do it on the podcast.
I'm also... also, something... something... Please, no. No sex. Why is she thinking about this? Like, get your head out of the gutter,
because she's
Hermione.
Attracted to him. Come on. You're not dumb either. Come on.
Pain. He sounds casual, like it's perfectly normal to be naked and speaking to her at the same time, and making her picture things she should not be picturing. It's the adrenaline, the reaction they don't want to explore in any real circumstances while wondering how they would. Aggression and violence can be sexual in nature, and fear can be exciting. It's... What? Why is he bringing up sex? Because he's naked. Is he thinking about how she's thinking
you
about
are
he's
Hermione.
Naked? I am, actually. Called out so hard. Hermione shakes her head, but it doesn't knock out the images and thoughts. She straightens up, lifting her head and shakes it again. Sexual. Her voice comes out a little tight and she clears her
what
throat.
What does that word mean?
I fail to see how violence is sexual, except in those cases where people are insane and they stab people as a substitute for intercourse or find sexual... I said aggression and violence, the loss of control to desire and impulse. Aggression can manifest itself into violence or sex, or both. I don't believe that. If someone going after a person in an aggressive manner, the first thing you're going to think of is violence. People aren't going to... Her gaze darts off at the sound of the loo door opening, and she stares blankly at Malfoy as he crosses the room. The first and last few buttons of his shirt are still undone, and his hair is in disarray, but there's a determination in his stride that sends her to her feet. What? He grabs her arm, yanking her towards him, hard enough for her to stumble over her feet and a grunt in her throat. He steps into her space, the table's edge digging into the back of her thighs. Don't just... He grabs her hips, pushing her onto the table, and knocks her knees open with wide enough to fit himself in between them. Her heart pounds as she shoves her hands into his shoulders, but he doesn't sway away. He grabs her wrists and presses into her and down, forcing her back to the table and pressing her wrists to the wood at either side of her head. Her breath escapes her in a raspy huff as she shoves back against his grip, trying to find the floor somewhere too far under her feet. She wiggles back, but she's only squirming against him and the push of his body for air and the movements in his chest as he pins her there. He's strong, too strong, and smells of bitter soap, lavender, and mint. I will honestly... She tries to glare at him, but his head dips and then his mouth is on her neck. Her vision of the ceiling fogs as her mind hones in on that point of contact with the press of his lips, the graze of his teeth, the swipe of his tongue. She releases a punch of air, her heart hammering in her ears as he does it again, and she wonders if she can feel how hard he's got it beating. She pushes up against him, but it's less determined than it was, and he pushes back against her in a way that's a lot less about forcing her to stay there. She presses her lips together as he bites down gently and then sucks, her fingers curling into fists. He breathes hotly against her skin, the air meeting the wetness from his mouth and sending the goosebumps down her arms. His hair is damp on her neck, jaw, cheek, as he raises his head. See now? She turns her head, clearing her throat. There's something she feels the need to argue about, but she can't remember what it is right now. Yes, so if you'd... He releases a wrist to grip her jaw, pulling her face back towards him. She takes half a breath before he kisses her, hard, and with his grip angling her where he wants her. She pushes her hand into his shoulder and fists his fabric when his tongue meets hers. His hands move to her legs, sliding along skin before pushing up her skirt. Her noise of protest is lost to Yates' lips, and she forgets about it with the rock of his body. It feels good above her now, hot and moving and firm against the curves of her. He rubs his palms against the outside of her thighs and she automatically clamps her legs and his hips. He presses against her, grinding in a circle that mimics her tongue against his. She tries to stifle the moan and fails, his touch climbing her sides. He hesitates. The first she remembers him doing so with her and then cups her breasts, the hesitation gone in his touch.
Nice. Oh, like,
it's knew. Always me. Why it doesn't JoJo do. Get these scenes?
Yay. What the hell? It's because the world loves me.
This is some bullshit. You'd be better at reading this too.
Don't be a PAB.
Okay, fine. I'll try to rein in my pabness.
Yes, please.
Her hips raise and a jolt goes through her at the hardness pressed against her and the groan that vibrates from his chest. She pushes her hands up against that chest, learning the shape, an odd sound in her throat when his thumbs rub across her nipples. He hums or growls and she lifts her face back, gasping for breath. Wait. He breathes hot and hard against her cheek before rising up, his expression the same one as she had thought was anger yesterday. There we go. Finally, the penny's dropped. Thank you. We needed that.
Thank you.
He takes his time sliding his hands down to her legs and moving himself back. It's not until he's pulling her skirt back down that she realizes she's still clinging to him, and she drops her leg from his hips and hands from his shoulders. She licks her lips and he watches the movement. You have that meeting. His eyes meet hers again, and there's a question there she doesn't know the words of. That got very quickly out of hand. The kissing may have not been disruptive before, but this is... Her heart is still racing and her face is hot and her whole body is hot. I'll get ready then. Good plan, she nods, pushing up to sit when he steps back. He stares at her a few seconds longer, as if completely aware of the way it's adding to the awkwardness. Maybe she's the only one feeling awkward, and part of it is maybe due to the force behind her attempt to not look down. Despite the avid demand of her curiosity and the little voice chanting in her mind, there's no way to look without him seeing very clearly where she's looking. It's likely I won't return until early morning tomorrow. Is anyone coming? She blinks at him, her mind taking some time to switch over to a more logical, normal state. Pruitt will be here to 8, but I'll be back then.
Good.
good, my good, good, let's continue later, or good, it's not leecher, or good, I don't want to deal with the auras. He probably gave an ambiguous answer with the purpose to mess her. She glares at him as he walks back to the loo.
We didn't get full on then, which is a shame.
Thank God. Hopefully it's reserved for you, ma'am. December 5th, 3:56 a.m. Malfoy still keeps his hands clasped where the shackles are on the table, and Hermione wonders if he'll ever stop doing it. In a few years, if this is all over, he'll be visiting his father at Azkaban or at an interview, and he'll do it like his muscles remember the motion, automatic and without thought. They're disguised at the top of the lampposts. You'll see a groove near the top. Everything above that light is a dark object. When activated, it meets the spell from the object directly across from it, in the other lamppost, and on the other side of the square. It stuns magical ability, unless the counterspell has already been cast on you, and I'm not sure how long it lasts. And you said they have dark objects set up around Gringotts and are attempting it within the Ministry in Azkaban, at least. And I'm assuming the plan is to get the people on the inside, activate the dark objects, and hold takeovers. They'll use the dark objects in public places as a distraction for auras and hit wizards, and as a way to make the people fear them, and so control the people. The dark objects can also be used for any future battles or resistance, or any earlier plans they might have had before the main one. He doesn't say anything, his expression blank, and it does nothing for the panic creeping up her bones. She takes a deep breath, but the images of war still flash through her mind, and there's no helping the rush of blood. She's even happier now that Harry and Pruitt show up shortly before noon, so she could get more sleep. It'll be harder to come by than normal today. They're looking for one or more people in the Ministry in Azkaban who watch over the magical use outside buildings. If they can imperious people to prevent others from noticing, they can set up the devices. Hermione nods, taking note of it, and outlines the note in a thick black line. She'll go to the Ministry directly after this and wait for Kingsley and Harry to come in. They'll go through the employee lists, maybe set up a sort of guard. I had to log the devices and locations for the nobles. The words blur together on the parchment, and it only takes a second for her mind to snap to the right conclusion. She looks up at him in surprise, and he looks expectant, already knowing what she's going to ask of him. It's a bright thing, the hope that uncurls in her chest, but it's also countered by the dark of a battle strategy and any means necessary. You probably have logs of all of them. You have to find them, if they haven't destroyed them. She shakes her head. If they wanted a log in the first place, they must be keeping them. A measure to make sure that they remember exactly where it is. They'll be protected, likely at Noble's home, but you have to get them, Malfoy. Yeah. He leans back in his chair, and for a second before, he shudders back into stone. He looks tired. I know. End of chapter 16.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I got what I wanted. I got plot. And I feel like we're building up to something.
Yeah.
We're building up to, kind of like a bit of a battle.
Yes. How many Draco Malfoys in a towel would you give that out of 10?
Oh, I would give that... I'd give that an 8. Because I got a plot, and I know what's going on. But also, we got more kissing and stuff, and it was heading in a great direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I got what I wanted. What about you?
I'd give that a 7, only because I struggled to read it a little.
I do get it. I understand that. It does kind of dampen the enjoyment of it all, doesn't it?
When you're reading it, or just, I don't know, like, it's when it goes smoothly, it's great. But when you're having a bit of struggle, you're like, oh my God. But I did really enjoy that. We definitely got more of what we wanted. I love affectionate but still hard Malfoy. Like, I like it. He'll kiss you and then slam a door in your face. And that's exactly what I want to read about. I don't know what that really says about us. I enjoy reading it massively. And we got a bit of Ron and Harry.
Yes, but it didn't give us anything, did it, about, the theory.
I know, but then I'm wondering, he's still got stuff to do with his shop, Muggle shop, the joke shop that he's running for his brothers. Perhaps there's stuff there. Perhaps that's one of the set. If there is a dark plot line, perhaps it's a base of some kind, or it's a place where they're storing other dark objects, or I don't know.
I just feel like we're running out of time for there to be something like that. I think the Sage is so good at stuff like that, but I just feel like time's trickling away from us.
This is very true.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm not sure.
But then again, like, the Animagus got brought up casually, and maybe it's just because it's one of Hermione's paranoid fears. I can relate, because I also am very paranoid about the fact that there is probably an Animagus, or there's, you know, but it is interesting. It's interesting that there's a lot of pressure on Malfoy at the moment.
There is. Like, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, really bad, actually. Like, I don't think he deserves this, to be honest. But yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed that. I did enjoy that, actually. And I'm glad that there wasn't full-on sex, because I
did not have the facilities. For the next chapter for me.
Thank God. If it comes in chapter 19, I'm going to die.
That'd be so funny. Oh my God, that would be so funny.
What is it about the order that we read these in, which always seems to leave me with the weird bits?
Maybe. Maybe you don't know, but I've planned this all along. Maybe I read ahead and I chose the order to go first. So no. You would know.
Yes, I know. I don't think so. Have you got any predictions?
Definitely sex is going to happen at some point. But in terms of, well, I feel like it's building to something. Like, there's going to be a big, I think there's going to be some kind of scene where they have to get the dark objects.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. There needs to be something. We need to be building towards something, I feel like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe a battle or a final thing to really round it all up in terms of the plot with a dark revival. What about you?
I genuinely have no clue, actually. It's really hard because we really have no idea about the dark revival. We know as much as Hermione does, which is a bit
honestly
weird.
I know.
Yeah, she's definitely in the dark. We're all in the dark, aren't we?
Dark revival.
I think, yeah.
But
I think Harry is more aware of her thing with Draco than she thinks he is.
Yes,
like, you know, when
I agree.
She was just like, oh, well, not in the way that Harry would think. And I'm like, no, I think Harry picks up on the vibes.
Yeah, he's not dumb. Well, like, he is typically in fanfic, he's usually quite dumb, but he's not that dumb.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I am quite excited.
I do like that we don't know what to expect, though. I am enjoying that. That could be anything. I think whatever it is, I think it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, hopefully a really great one.
Yeah.
I'm still hoping that the plot twist comes into play.
I want it too. I don't want to, but I'm just, we're running out of time.
We are. We've only got 3 chapters left now.
Ooh, that's kind of exciting. God, we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, it's quite wild. I know that this is probably a side note, but I don't really know what we're going to do after we finish this.
Me neither. We're in a different world with them when we first started it, because we started it in the middle of, you know, a lockdown. So the world's opening up a bit now. We'll have to have a good think.
This is true. This is true.
But in the meantime, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, if you have any suggestions, send them to fanafflictionpodcast@gmail.com, please.
Yep. And, and hopefully see you back next week for when we're getting towards wrapping up, which is kind of weird, actually. Makes me feel a bit strange.
It's strange, yeah.
But I'm excited to see how it ends.
Yeah, very much so. Fingers crossed for the redemption arc of Malfoy. I mean, been redeemed now.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, we shall see.
But we'll see you soon. Thank you, Aisha, for your marvellous reading this
Thank
week.
Thank you, JJ, for putting up with me, as per usual.
Shush.
And thank you for all that are listening. We see you coming back weekly and things creeping up, and it's really lovely. And thank you for the emails that we have received thus far.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Much appreciated. We're just two little girls trying to make two big strong women.
Mm-hmm.
Just making our way in this crazy world, making a podcast for no reason.
You know, just for all the other afflicted fans out there.
Exactly. You're not alone.
Yeah, we're all in it together. And perhaps we'll create a PhD program. And when we're all 50,
please.
All just study fan fiction.
Dream come true.
Wouldn't it be? They have a Game of Thrones one. We could make it work. But
in the meantime, this will do for now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.